Welcome to another Encompass Church podcast. We hope that you are inspired and challenged by God's word. For more information about our church, please check out www.encompass.org.au.
God is good. Yeah. All the time, God is good. I believe that God wants to bless your life. God is good. He wants to speak into your life today. How many are expecting something from God? Amen. Just want to encourage you in your prayer and fasting. I know that halfway through it, you can become a little bit discouraged and you know, you make a decision that you're going to not eat food and then some tempting pizza comes your way. I had Lois made this pizza and she's got one kind of fast and I've got another kind of fast. And I tell you what, the temptation was strong, but I resisted. I tell you, that's a miracle for someone like me. But sometimes, you know, just keep going. Get closer. Draw closer to God. Amen? Just draw closer to Him. Let Him speak to you. You'll see what God has got to say for you in this season. It's important that I speak to you, but God speaks to you as well. Remember last week I pronounced, I believe, that this year will be a year of breakout. Everybody say breakout. God wants to break out in your life in a good way. He wants to break, you know, that we break free of things that can hinder us into a larger life. The life that you are living right now is not the full extent of it. God's got more for you. Everybody say more. And God wants you to break out of fear. Some people are so caught up with fear. He wants you to break into faith and break out of addiction into freedom. Break out of past things that have happened into wholeness. So you're not just reliving the past all the time. God wants you to experience more. God has more for you. That as we approach this year, that we have eyes to explore. Saying, okay, where is the next thing? We go into uncharted territory. When God says, go this way, we've never been this way before. We say, okay, if it's you, Lord, then I'll step out of the boat in Jesus' name. You see, all the way through Scripture, you will find that God challenges people to step out, to break out into a larger life. It's called the walk of faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, by faith, they did things which were beyond themselves because God was with them. So if you weren't here last week, listen to the podcast. I think it's really important that you capture, it's more than a message, it's the spirit. It's the spirit and the attitude of this church for this year. And it's for your individual life. You break out into a new place. And it's for us as a church. And I know I'm pondering and saying, what does it mean for me, Lord? And I've got a few ideas that God's given to me and I'm going to take it to another level. Amen. So today I'm going to be speaking about breakout, but this time I'm going to talk about a subject I've never really addressed in the church. It's fairly new to me, especially with the emphasis I'm going to give it, and it's called breaking out of the spirit of mammon. Now, some of the things I'm going to say, I just want to be really upfront today. I don't know if this is going to be one of those messages where you're going to be jumping and, you know, yeah, Pastor John. I know that I'm going to say some things that may be a little bit confronting. It might be just for you to think about. All I ask you to do is to be open. Is that fair enough? Be open to the truth of God's word. And then examine it for yourself. Think about it. Just think about it. Some of the greatest changes in thinking that have taken place in my life is when I didn't agree with something and then I began to ponder it and I started to see, you know what? I've missed something here. And so I want you to listen to what the Word of God says, and if it's true, then you act on it. Is that okay? Is that fair enough? It's up for you to just grab a hold of this thing because God wants us to be free in every area of our life. Okay, so I'm going to take you to this key scripture. It's found in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. And this is it. Let's read this together. The words of Jesus. Come on, here we go. No one can serve two masters. Everybody say master. I'm going to come back to that. For either he will hate the one and love the other, especially if these two masters are opposing one another, or else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. Let's read the next line together. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, that's an interesting word. You cannot serve God and mammon. Everybody say mammon. Mammon, what a strange word for Jesus to use. He could have used all sorts of different words, but he uses this word mammon. In fact, in Scripture, it's used 4 times, and Jesus uses it 3 times. What does mammon mean? What is the actual meaning of it? Well, the Webster Dictionary defines mammon as the god, the false god of riches and greed. The actual word mammon, there's a lot of evidence to point that it was one of the gods in Babylon. There's other evidence to point, it's always a god, as a god of riches in the Roman way of thinking, especially in Carthage. So when Jesus is saying, you cannot serve God and mammon, he's talking about more than just money, because some of your translations call it money. He's talking about a spirit. He's talking about a God that is behind that thing, and he's pointing it out to us, saying, be very careful, this thing can grab a hold of your life. Now, let's be very open about this. We have a financial system that is a mess. I mean, you look around the world, there's a mess. I mean, it's the global economic crisis is a real picture of what I'm talking about here. It's like the spirit of mammon, this god of selfishness and greed got in there and messed up the whole system, and we're still paying the price of that. Is that right? And see, it can get in there. Even Australia, I love Australia. I feel like singing, that's Australia. I love Australia, but Australia is going down the same line of just borrowing, and instead of having a surplus, if you have a look at the reports, it's more and more debt, just piling it on, piling it on, piling it on. How is it that we think that we can have this much income and spend this much and it's not going to bite us somewhere along the line? It's going to bite us. On the other hand, what can happen with this whole fueled by the spirit of mammon, I've seen people who are earning $50,000 and they're living as if they're earning $80,000. And so now we've got credit cards that are maxed out, and we've got borrowing another $50,000 here, borrowing another $100,000 here, and then they're borrowing $400,000 for a home, and it just gets up and up, and it's killing us. The spirit is killing. It's killing marriages. One of the main reasons why marriages break up is because of finance. And it's sometimes it affects people's health. There is a spirit behind this thing, Jesus is saying. And he's just opening up a whole new world. He's saying it's more than just finance, it's more than riches, it's the spirit of mammon that tries to grab a hold and ruin the whole thing for us. He says, be careful of that. Be careful of that. All money has a spirit attached to it. It's either the spirit of mammon, which is the values and the attitude of this world system, or it's the spirit of God. So the question is, how do we break out of the spirit of mammon? If it's there, Jesus is saying it's there, how do we break out of this thing? Even as a believer, how do you break out of it? The simple answer is this: put God first. I love the devotion, by the way. Dennis, where are you? Somewhere here. I actually said to Mark, I said, did you tell him that I was preaching? And he says, no, he preached half my message. And he's just taught, put God first. The Word of God, let's have a look at some of the scriptures. You already know this, but I want to reemphasize something really important here. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Come on, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all of these things shall be added to you. Here's another one. These are the key ones. In everything you do, put God first, and he will direct you and crown your efforts with success. You feel good? Okay, there's another one. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled with overflowing. When you put God first, everything else comes into order. You just got to put things into order. Your marriage comes into order. Your finances come into order. Your career comes into order. Everything. You see, a previous generation understood this. I was talking to the first service, and they're all, you know, around about 40, 50. They understood that.
But we have another generation that doesn't understand that when you put God first, then God blesses the rest. It's all about priority. So we need to teach into it. And that's why I'm teaching into this thing. So that, you know, I had some people come up to me after the first service, says, thank you for that, because we've never had any teaching on this. We need to teach, otherwise we'll fall under the spirit of mammon that tries to control our lives. And I tell you, it's very, very strong. It's very strong. Now, the way that you get God's blessing on your finance, as with everything else, is to put God first. You give the first part of your income to God, and then God blesses the rest. You give God the tithe. Everybody say tithe. As soon as I say tithe, or some of you are already starting to shake. You know, as soon as you start talking about the subject, can I be very honest with you? I've been around a while, and people get nervous, they get fidgety, they get, oh, Pastor, I come to the wrong service. You know, oh, I should have come next week. There's something, you know, you can talk about put God first in your marriage. Yeah, Pastor John, hallelujah. Put God first in your career. Hallelujah, yes. You know, like standing, clapping, cheering, and put God first in your decisions. Yes, yeah, put God first in your finance. Ooh. Excuse me, stop meddling with my, you see, and I've heard all of the different ways of thinking. I've heard some people say, well, Pastor John, isn't tithing under the Old Testament? I mean, you know, isn't it that part of, you know, Malachi is found in the Old Testament? Think about it for a moment though. The Ten Commandments, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery. Are they still relevant today? Yeah. Come on, can I have a vote? You with me? They are? Oh, they are. Oh, but they were in the Old Testament. Oh, no, they're relevant today because they are unalterable laws, moral laws, okay? And so when it comes to tithing, it's repeated again in the New Testament. And then on top of that, it talks about generosity over and above that. Jesus twice talked about the importance that we put God first in our finance so that we break the spirit of mammon, I tell you, that tries to grab a hold of our lives. And remember, he says in Matthew chapter 23, verse 23, I'll let him talk about that. This is, he says here, you pay, he's talking to the Jews, he says, you pay the tithe of your mint and cumin, you give the tenth, and he says, you should do that. You should do that. He says, you should tithe what? Yes, you should do that. But you shouldn't forget the other things that go along with that. It's not the only duty that you have. He says it twice to us, that God must come first. It's God's expectation that we give to him first, that he comes first in our lives. He's valid. You know, I don't understand why people resist tithing. I really don't. Especially when there's so many promises attached to it. So many. I remember when I gave my life to Christ and I found out about tithing, that was more than 40 years ago, that every week or every month, and we do it in through different ways, before I became a pastor, way before, I said, Lord, this is the first part of your income. This belongs to you. This belongs to you. You know, and I've seen the goodness and the faithfulness of God in many, many different ways. I want to take you to a scripture that some of you know and some of you don't know. But let's have a look at this. Malachi chapter 3. You still with me? Are you thinking through this? Just don't make a decision till we get to the end of the message, all right? Stay with me because I'm going on a journey here. Okay, Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. And it says here, let's read it together. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, come on, read it. In what ways have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. In other words, the tithe belongs to the Lord, but you've taken it from me. This is God speaking. You are cursed with a curse, even this whole nation, he's talking to Israel, because you are robbing me. In other words, you are experiencing lack in your life. Things are not working out for you because you think you're better off, but you're not. Let's go on. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. In the New Testament, that is the local church. By the way, let me be
very clear about this, because I had a couple of questions in the first service. You bring the whole tithe to the storehouse, which is your spiritual home, which is your church. It's not a missions organization. It's not some sort of charity. That's called your offering. You give that. And I didn't understand this, by the way. When I gave my life to Christ, I was sending money to the evangelists, and I was giving all sorts of money all over the place. And then I realized, no, the first part of your income belongs to the storehouse, and then you can give it to different places as whatever you want. You know, give it to a spiritual father, whatever. And I had a little bit of a conversation. People just brought that up with me. So it's very important you get that. You bring it to the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see. Check it out. Watch. Observe, says the Lord, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing upon you that there will be not enough room to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. Okay, here's the two promises. Number one, the promise here is that you'll experience divine provision. God says, I stake my reputation on this. Test me in this. Is that what Nada said? Is that what it says? He says, you'll experience divine provision. I will open to you the windows of heaven, and you'll experience divine protection. I will rebuke. I will rebuke the devourer. Do you know that there's a devourer in your life? You know that the enemy tries to steal, to kill, and destroy. And you know what the Lord says? I will stand at the door of your home and say, get out. That's what he says. Because this man has put me first. This is the protection that comes over your life. Amen. So, he's telling us to test him. This is the only part in Scripture where we are told to test him. And I'll tell you why. Because it doesn't make sense. In the natural, if you think about it, with your natural mind, you think about it, you've got 100%, and you give God the first portion, which is your tithe, okay? You'll end up with what? How much? Mathematicians? 90%. God says, no. What do you mean? If you give me the first part of your income, I will multiply the 90% so that it is far greater than if you had kept it. That's what he says. In fact, it's not 100, it's not 90%, it's 100%, it's 110%, it's 120%. It says, test me in this, says Lord, and see my divine provision. And what actually happens when you give God the first part of your income, you break the spirit of mammon that tries to put its tentacles all over you, and you are free from that thing, and God is free to release blessing upon your life. Come on. And you have an understanding that you are obeying God. Even beyond all that, and God does promise that, even beyond that, you have an understanding that you are obeying God, and that God says, well done. Well done. And that's what we're going to do as a church. You know, some of you, I want you to take this card out over here. Lift it up. I want to make sure you've got one. As a church, we're going to put God to the test. He's the one who invites us, by the way. He says, test me in this. It's not, I'm not doing it. He's the one. God says, test me in this. And what we're going to do in the first 3 months, for some of you, you've never really, nobody's ever talked to you about tithing. You come from various backgrounds, and or maybe you've been a bit fearful about it. I don't know if I'm going to have enough money and all that sort of thing. But we're going to put God to the test. And for the next 3 months, and this is my challenge, we call it the three-month challenge. This is my challenge. Give God the first part of your income. And if God does not bless you after 3 months, if you don't know, if you sense that God is with you and helping you, then stop. Stop. Is that fair enough? Just stop. It's okay, I tried that. Because it's the Lord who's saying, he's the one who said, test me in this. And see if I will not open up to you. And I tell you, there are people in this church all over this place last year who put God to the test, and this day the testimonies are still coming in. Man, I thought I was holding on to that thing that I couldn't survive, and God somehow, I got a promotion, God just made it happen, and it's like a miracle, and it is a miracle. So I'm going to challenge you to do that. Fill this in, and as God leads you, right? and put God to the test. So everybody say, put God to the test. But why 10%? Have you ever thought about that? Why does God ask for 10%? Sometimes we think, God, what about 2%? What about 1%? But what about, think about this for a moment, why not 25%? Why not 50%? I mean, everything belongs to God anyway, doesn't it? I mean, let's think about it. Look at the scripture here we're going to put up. Psalm 24, verse 1 says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it, everything belongs to Him. Everything. He could say, I want the whole lot. You have no choice. He says, no, 10%. Why? Because every number in scripture has got a meaning. Now, this is called numerology, let me give you a few numbers. Number 7, some of you know this. Number 7 is the number of perfection. Oh, you ought to get up there. Oh, geez. Number 6 is one less than God, and that means Satan. Remember that the number of the Antichrist is 666. Number 5 is the number of God's grace. Number 3, that's not up there. Number 3 is the number of holiness. God the Father, God the Son, holy. Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. It's a number of holiness. Number 10 is the number of testing. So how many commandments were there? 10 in Moses' commands. How many times were the people of Israel tested in Egypt? In the wilderness? 10 times. You probably don't know that, but check it out for yourself. Another 10. How many lepers came to Jesus? 10, and that was a test to see who would go back, and only one came back and gave praise to God. How many disciples did Jesus have? 12. I'm just testing you. Come on. I'm just seeing if you're awake or not. 10, it's a number of testing. That's why. And over the years, I've spoken to a number of people, both tithers and non-tithers. And every time, without exception, I have not found one yet. A person who tithes, they'll say things like, man, God is blessing me. God is helping me. The faithfulness of God. God's been so good. You talk to somebody who's not a tither. Oh, I don't know. They I don't know whether I can tithe. I don't have enough money. I don't seem to. Listen, look at those two statements. God is blessing me and I don't have enough. Isn't there a picture that's been painted there? I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist. When you put God first, then abundance starts to flow into your life. If you don't, then lack, you know, that spirit of mammon tries to take over your life. It's very, very clear in scripture. I want you to understand that mammon is far more than riches. It is a spirit, okay, in this world. And let's have a look at the scripture again. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. No one can serve, come on, what? Two masters. It's not just riches, it's a master. It's trying to enslave you. It's actually, he's giving it personality. In fact, it will talk to you. It will talk to you. I tell you, if I was to say, okay, let's take up an offering this morning, I tell you, there'll be all sorts of voices you'll be hearing right now. It's true. And maybe God would give you a specific amount. If you say, God, what do you want me to give towards something? And then all of a sudden you hear this other voice. What, are you crazy or something? You know, that's too much. Why? Because the spirit of mammon tries to cause us to try to control the way we live so that we don't respond to the promptings of God. But we respond to this, his ambition for our lives. Say amen. The spirit of mammon will also speak to you and say things like this. If you just had the right car, then people would listen to you. Or if you bought that house, then people would admire you. You know, all of that's a lie. The whole thing is a lie. What the spirit tries to do, the spirit of mammon, it tries to get us to put our confidence in and our trust in money rather than God. You see how insidious this thing is that tries to grab a hold of it. So you might say, well, Pastor John, you know, is money evil? Is it? No.
not money.
Money is actually neutral. It's neither good or bad. But it's what you do with a thing, and it's the spirit behind it. Let's say it's a tool, actually, that you can use. It says, I think we have it up here, it says to the missionary, we can support you. It says to a person in poverty, you're going to break that poverty cycle off you. You know, we've got some people here who are involved in doing that. It's just beautiful. Their heart is, I'm not going to point them out, they wouldn't want that. They are involved in different parts of India, and they're breaking the poverty cycle. I've got some people who are looking at, you know, what's happening in Philippines, and they're involved in breaking the poverty cycle. Finance says, we can do that thing. We can break poverty. It says to a vision, we can fulfill you. It says to a building, we can build you for the kingdom of God. We can create a place where people can come. Look at this. This is a place where people are coming by the hundreds. Somebody had a vision for that. Okay, and so it says it releases opportunity so you can grab a hold of it. So finance in itself is not evil, but it's what we do. So what should I do with my money? Be a good steward. Be a good steward. Don't get involved in excessive, you know, spending. Don't get involved in excessive debt. Before you make a decision, a big one, pray about it. You know, sometimes we just go to the shop and we buy this house and this investment. Have you prayed about it? Have you thought about it? Have you gone before God and said, give me wisdom, Lord. I really need to have wisdom. Because I tell you, there's another thing. Instead of listening to the spirit of mammon, you start to listen to the spirit of God. And it will lead you into wisdom. Amen? That's what God wants for you. Listen to the scripture here. This is Jesus teaching us about the way we live life. Read this together. Whoever, come on, can be trusted with little can be trusted with much. That's the principle. You see, God uses the way we handle finance to test us for greater things. You say, oh, where's the scripture? Look at Jesus at the temple. He's watching as people gave, and he said, look at that widow. Look at the spirit of that widow. She only had this much, and yet she gave it. Look at that. He watches to see how we respond and then gives us greater responsibility. It reminds me of the story of this man who was a businessman. And he went along to a pastor. We'll call him Pastor Craig. And he says, Pastor Craig, he says, I just got some great things to report. My business has just gone through the roof. You know, it looks like this year we're going to make over $1 million in profit. $1 million. Is that good? And the pastor says, wow, that's awesome. I am so happy for you. That's good. Man, that's just a sign that you are putting God first in your life. You must be one of the biggest tithers in our church. And the businessman goes quiet. He goes, well, pastor, he says, you know, when I was earning $40,000, I found it easy to tithe. And then it was $60,000 and I was giving a tithe of that and then $80,000. But you know what, Pastor, I'll be very honest with you. I'm being honest with you. He says, $1 million, it's really hard to write that check, Mark. Really, really hard. And Pastor says, what? He says, God blesses you and you fail to honor him? He says, oh, I know, I'm really struggling. And then the businessman says, can you please pray for me? He says, yeah, no worries, I'll pray for you. So he prays this prayer. God, he says, in Jesus' name, I pray that you will reduce the income of this man to a point where he will honor and trust you. The businessman says, oh, no, don't pray that. He says, yes, I'm going to pray that. Every day of my life, I'm going to pray. Because it's obvious that God can't trust you with much. He can only trust you with little. And the businessman got the picture. Hey, amen. You see, so the way we handle what God gives to us is actually a means of promotion. Now, one time, I need a coin. Someone help me with a coin. One time, Jesus was speaking to the Jewish people, and he got a, thank you very much, feels like the first one. Oh, this is $2, well done, man, things are going up. Jesus was talking to the Jewish people, and they asked him this question about finance, actually. It was trying to entrap him, and they said, Jesus, is it right for us to pay
our taxes to the Roman government. And Jesus knew, he's smart, he knew whichever way this is going to be difficult. And so he said, bring me a coin. And he brings a coin. It says, it's a Roman coin. It says, whose inscription and figure is on this coin? And they say, Caesar. And Jesus said this, give to Caesar that which is Caesar's, and give to God that which is God. In other words, you have the obligation to give back lawful taxes, but you need to give God that which belongs to God. Now, let me tell you, the Jews would have picked that up very clearly, what he was saying there. What belongs to God? Everything. Our heart belongs to God. Our devotion belongs to God. You know, it starts there. It starts with who you are. And then they would have understood it to me. Also, the first part of our income belongs to God. Give to Caesar that which belongs to Caesar, and to God that which belongs to God. Let me read the scripture to you. Malachi chapter 3 verse 10 says, bring, come on, help me, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. Everyone say bring. Do you know there's a difference between giving and bringing? When you give something, it's a gift. When you bring, it actually implies that it belonged to the other person anyway. Let me give you this illustration. Maybe it'll help you. Say if Pastor Mark is talking to Pastor Joel one day, and they're talking about what's happening, travel, and Joel says, look, I'm going interstate. It's really frustrating. My car's not working, and I'm going to have to get to the airport. And Mark, out of the generosity of his heart, says, look, don't worry. I've got a car. I don't need it for the next few days. You can borrow it. So take your family to the airport, put the car in the long-term car park, and hey, when you come back, just jump in the car and then drive back home. You know, and Joel says, wow, that's really kind of you. You know, Mark, you're just a really good person, and, you know, flatters him and tells him how great he is. And he does that. Anyway, about 3 days later, he comes back from his trip interstate and drives the car back to his home. He said, wow, how good is this? There's a bus shuttle, takes him to the car, drives back home. And then he says, I better, you know, he goes and visits Mark, and he's got his car. And he says this. He says, you know, Beck and I have been praying, and we really feel to give this car to you as a gift. Mark says, it's a joke. No, he's really serious. He says, no, we've been praying about it, and we want to give this car to you as a gift, free gift to you. What do you think Mark's going to say? Mark is a pazzo, you know, in Italian. Well, you kind of lost it or something. Well, it's my car. These are my keys, my car. You give me, you're not giving me a gift. You're turning back to me that which belongs to me. Are you getting it? And God, I think sometimes, you know, we say we're going to give God the tithe. Whoa, what a sacrifice. No, not giving God anything. Everything belongs to God. It's all His anyway. Your life, your breath, everything you have belongs to God. What you're doing, God gives you the privilege of using the other 90%, but He says, you give me the first half. First 10%, and I will bless your life. See? And so, we are not people here who are going to be controlled this year by the spirit of mammon. It tries to put its tentacles all over your life. But we are going to be those who respond to the Spirit of God and put Him first and receive God's blessing. Amen? Let's close our eyes. I want you to block out everybody in this place and ask God this question. Lord, what are you saying to me? What do I need to do? I want to be responsive to your spirit. I'll do what you tell me to do. That's all I ask you to do today, just to be obedient to God. Whatever he tells you to do, you do it. He'll speak to you. The voice of the Spirit is the voice of mammon. You might be saying something else, but the voice of the Spirit. Put God first. Father, we want to be people who live free. Lord, for anything that tries to hinder our lives, and including the spirit of mammon, wants to get its tentacles all over us. Well, we are set free to live a life that puts you first. First in our heart, first in our devotion, first in our decisions, first in our marriage, first in our career, first in everything that we do, Lord. Beginning of this year, as we're praying and fasting, we're drawing closer to you. We say, Lord, we will seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all of these other things shall be added to us.
Thank you for listening to this Encompass Church podcast. Make sure you check out our website, www.encompass.org.au. We are Encompass Church, a place to belong.